Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad you've joined me today because we're talking on a subject called Armed and Dangerous, and that's who you are in the Spirit of God. You, in Jesus Christ, make demons tremble. Recently, a friend of mine, Angela Greenick, came to film in our studio. In fact, she has produced a new DVD series called Armed and Dangerous that reveals 16 spirits, 16 demonic spirits, and how they manifest and how to overcome them. So she was in the studio here doing that, and Shirley Ross was amazed. And she was staying at our house and brought a gift. I wasn't in town, but when I got home, I received the gift, and this is it, this beautiful horse with a warrior on it. And I have to say that when I saw that gift, when I saw the warrior and the horse, I just started getting the Holy Ghost crunchies. And every time I look at it, even when we set it up in the studio today to show you, I got the anointing off of it. It just, I don't know what it is. There's something so special about this gift. And the scripture out of Revelation 19, verse 11, if you have a Bible, maybe you could go there with me. It says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war." So this is talking about Jesus. Jesus is on this horse. The heavens open, and out he comes on this horse. And he comes called Faithful and True, but in righteousness, he judges and he makes war. And I think sometimes God initiates us to make war. We're not always supposed to be on the defense, but we're to be on the offense in the kingdom of God. And it says, "His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And this is what I love. In verse 14, it says, "And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. For from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." It's such a dynamic picture. And when I saw this horse with a rider, I got so empowered by the Spirit, because I thought, Lord, that's us. You've got armies in heaven that are released out of the heavens with you to wage war, to wage an aggressive war against evil, to wage war in righteousness for the sake of justice. But you also have warriors in the earth, and that's us. Jesus has raised us up with authority. It says in Luke 10, verse 19, that he's given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure us. We are to be fearless, ferocious warriors in him. We know that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came that we would have life and have it in its abundance. In the book of Matthew, Jesus talks about two kingdoms, a demonic kingdom and a holy kingdom that is ruled by Jesus himself. When we become Christians, when we accept Jesus into our heart, we become part of this kingdom instantaneously. If you're a Christian right now, you are part of the kingdom of God, and you have Christ's authority. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 28, verse 18, it says that Jesus has been given authority in heaven and in earth. All authority in heaven and in earth is his. And then he says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples." We are to go forth. We're not to be on some defensive place and in a defensive posture, but an aggressive posture, going forward with him to make war against evil and to establish righteousness. And that's why we can go right into the midst of darkness fearlessly and just bring forth the name of Jesus for his glory and for his name's sake. It's awesome. And as we do that, heaven will back us up. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven. In other words, he's giving us power and authority. He gave us keys of the kingdom so that we would have authority in the earth and heaven would back us up. So when we initiate that authority in the earth, that's when heaven's armies come and back that up. It's awesome. And we don't have to be afraid of anything. We can be a fearless army. You know, sometimes I hear Christians saying, oh, you got to be careful because the devil could get after you, or you don't want to go and be bold with the name of Jesus for this and for that and the other because the devil could raise havoc and he could start chasing you if you do that. Well, you know, if he starts chasing you, turn around and roar at him and roar him right out of his place, because we are ferocious warriors. We are armed and we are dangerous to him. We have to get a mindset of who we really are in Jesus. We're ferocious. You are ferocious. In fact, you're the devil's worst nightmare. You know, I hear so much fear in Christians about being afraid of the devil, but you know what? He's afraid of you. He's afraid of each of us. Now, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. When I look at that horse and rider, I can tell he's got armor on him. He's armored and ready to go. It says, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows, or in one version it says missiles, of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Staying alert. This is who you are. You're a perfectly armored believer. You're armored in Jesus Christ from head to toe, and you're ready for battle. You are armed and you are dangerous. The enemy is out and about and he's roaring and, you know, making a noise. But you know what? He's lost all his power. He's defenseless, really. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross to give us authority over him. He went into the bowels of hell and stripped the enemy of all of his authority. He disarmed and defeated him. The victory is already secured in Jesus Christ. And when he came up, he took the keys of hell, took the keys of death, and he's given us those keys now so that we can go and demolish the strongholds of the enemy. I love going into dark places where you see people bound by sometimes prostitution or drug addiction or lies and deception, children being bound up in the sex trade or used as little child soldiers. These things ought not to be. We need to rise up in faith and in authority and go after the enemy, driving him out of his place and going in for the spoil, armed and dangerous. My friend, Angela Greenick, she's one of a kind. But she's a person that does just that. You know, she came out of a life of, you know, prostitution and was severely abused as a child, was a drug addict and all that. When she got saved, she got introduced to the power that not only saves, but delivers. And God gave her discernment of the enemy and this fearless warrior attitude that she now imparts to others. But over the years, she's helped so many people get set free. In fact, she ministers with the poor and inner city areas and helps get people saved and delivered, and has worked a lot with people that have even been in high-level Satanism and witchcraft. She's just fearless. She just goes in after them and gets them set free and delivered. And we're going to show you a clip right now where she was actually involved in a situation where a high-powered Satanist was doing all kinds of things. A fifth bride of Satan, very high level. In fact, on that particular level she was on, she couldn't have gone any farther, this Satanist. And Angela just got a team of people together, and they just went out after this one to see this young girl set free. She got set free, got delivered and saved, and even stepped out into global ministry, setting others free. Here's the testimony now.
I brought our team with me, just a small team with me. And they were like, you know, Ange, is it going to be like a poltergeist? And I go, no, I don't think so. Because God is God and Satan is not. And there is no demon that is going to come into this ground that we're on, because it's holy ground. Because God wants to get this little girl saved. It is about her soul going to hell or to heaven. And that's why we were there. And so I knew before she even got there, because the darkness was so prevalent. Those Christians out there, you know what I'm talking about. You can feel it in your very being. And when she came onto the property, darkness, it was like hordes of hell were there. And yet there were angels bringing her in. The front door flung open. And I wanted her to know immediately, I don't think so, babe. Because your darkness is not going to come into the light. Because she needed to know that God was God and that Satan was not. She had a very large marking on her arm, a tattoo, which stated who she was. And so what that meant was, see, we're all marked with destiny. Whether you're a Christian or you're into Satanism, you're marked. And because she was going to become the fifth bride of Satan, she had already had her element marked on her arm, so that when people saw her in the natural or by the spirit, they would know who she was, that she had great authority in the spirit realm. Her eyes were so pitch black, it was like there was no white at all. And as I started talking to her, this little girl cried out. She had a real hard time saying Jesus. Because as soon as you speak the name Jesus, everything has to bow before him. And I knew that she was relinquishing all power of darkness when she said his name. And at first it was like, oh, and she couldn't speak it. And I said, you will say his name Jesus now. And as soon as I said that, it was like the hordes pulled back and she screamed the name of Jesus. And this shot, I'm telling you, was like a shaft of light hit her. And she was totally transformed. We let Satan know that the blood of Christ is over this child. And every door that was open, you have no authority to come back in. And then she got baptized immediately in the Holy Spirit. And then we had to carry her out. She was speaking in tongues. And she was laughing and weeping. And I know that's what Jesus sees every time someone comes out of darkness into the light. You don't have to come out of that type of a darkness, but whatever prison you're in, when you come out of darkness into the light, you'll know that you are free and that you are loved, and your whole life changes. And that's what happened to our girl.
Amazing. Well, I'd like to learn from definitely someone like Angela. On this DVD, I was just looking at it earlier. She talks about Warfare 101 with Boot Camp Basics, Mindsets for War, Armor of God, Knowing Your Enemy, Angels and Their Missions, Commanding Angels and Satan's Counterfeit. And she goes into describing the 16 demonic spirits that plague a lot of Christians. And I just feel like that's what we need, is some more equipping and more empowering. And I want to move in the fullness of that. I want to be a strong warrior for Jesus. Do you? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's exciting to know that we have power in the name of Jesus, power in the word of Jesus, and power in the blood of Jesus. I remember a number of years ago, my husband and I were on the mission field over in Africa, and we were in an area where there was real intense witchcraft going on. And that particular region had been visited by the power of God. There'd been a mighty harvest. And I remember speaking with a number of different ministers of the gospel who were now Christians, but prior to becoming Christians, they were involved in high-level Satanism and witchcraft. And they would share the most chilling stories of what they did with their demonic powers, like, you know, even transforming from one image into another and transports and walking through walls and releasing curses and all kinds of bizarre stuff. In fact, at the time, I had a hard time even believing that it was true, but since then I've come to realize that things like that are very common in those levels of witchcraft. And so they would share with us what happened during those times when they were Satanists, but how the power of God was greater and met them with power encounters, and that's how they actually got saved. So we were in this region where there was a lot of this witchcraft going on. We'd been doing meetings, preaching the gospel. Many people were getting saved and healed and delivered. It was an amazing time that we had there. But one night, I was in bed, and I was trying to sleep, and all of a sudden I felt the oppression of something come into the room, which I believed it was some kind of a witchcraft force. And instantaneously, I was like paralyzed to a point where I couldn't even move my jaw or anything. It was like wired shut. I couldn't move one thing. I couldn't call on my husband for help. And I remember thinking, if I can just say the name of Jesus, that's the thought that came to me. So I said, Jesus, because I couldn't move my mouth. I said, Jesus. And the moment I did, the paralysis broke and I was completely fine. And that's because there's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's authority in that name. And you know, we can say the name of Jesus, but if we don't believe in the authority, it won't do any good. I remember hearing from someone that when they were in Satanism, they said those Christians don't even believe in the power of the name of Jesus, and they can actually tell when we're walking in the authority of it or not. And so if you're going to use the name, use the authority of that name because it is so powerful. So you can conquer any demonic stronghold with the name of Jesus. There's power, there's authority in that name, and Jesus has given you his name to use. And also, we have the Word of God. He's given us the Word of God. It's a mighty weapon. It's one of the weapons of our warfare is the Word of God. And when you take the Word and you put that stake of the Word in the ground against some demonic assault against you, that word will stand and demons will bow to that word. But again, demons know if you believe it or not. They know if you're just quoting something or if you really mean something. So get in the Word of God and get full revelation of that word and proclaim it and establish that word within your life. And there won't be a devil that will be able to overcome you. You can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one by going after him with the Word of God. When I have circumstances in our life or in our ministry that are contrary to the blessings of God, I find the scripture, I find the Word of God, the promise of God, and then I execute that word into the spirit by establishing the authority of that word around me, just like a garrison. And then demonic circumstances start to bow to that word. They have to, because God's word carries final authority. Not only that, you can release angels by using the Word of God. It says so in Psalm 103, verse 20. It says that they obey the voice of the Lord's word. So when you give the Lord's word voice, the angels go out and carry that, and they'll go to battle for you. You're a kingdom warrior. You have the name of Jesus. You have the word of Jesus, and you have the blood of Jesus. What is the blood of Jesus? It's covenant blood. It is the blood that Jesus shed on the cross 2,000 years ago. It is God's DNA on the inside of you. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, he comes in and his blood comes into your system. You receive a blood transfusion. You have the power of Jesus inside of you. You have the blood of God inside of you. And so you have his strength, his fortitude, his being, his character, his covenant. And you can go to battle with that. You can say, devil, back off. according to the blood of Jesus Christ that is in me, the redeeming blood, the covenant blood that I have in me as a covenant child, your toast, and send him running. Remember, you are the devil's worst enemy. Just go after him like David did. David took the heads off giants. Esther just went in there fearlessly to see a whole nation saved. Deborah went to war in the name of Jesus, and so can you, because you are a kingdom warrior. We're going to be right back because I want Angela Greenick to minister to you. She has a word and a prayer. We'll be right back.
Our next spirit is called the spirit of fear, and I always call it the enemy from within. Listen to the verse. 2 Timothy 1:7 declares, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and a sound mind." And broken down, the sound mind means self-control. Here are some of the manifestations of the spirit. Torment causes intense feeling of suffering, whether it's mental or physical. It literally cripples the mind, and it will literally cripple people's bodies, the spirit of fear. People have a fear of death. Stress becomes so overwhelmed that they have mental breakdowns, worry, agitation, but also a lot of times a heart attack will come in because of the spirit of fear. I've seen where people have literally had their hair change because they had such a fear experience, where they've had a patch of white in their hair change because of fear. And you know, when children are growing up, they have a fear under their bed because they said there's the boogeyman's under there or whatever, which is really a demonic spirit, by the way. But they have such a fear that you cannot tell them that something's not real, because again, the enemy is from within. And this is what it says: it is an emotion experienced by an anticipation of a certain circumstance, a pain or a danger that is usually accompanied by a desire to flee. And it feeds off the emotion. And the more terrified you are, the more it has its victim. And so, Father, right now, we come against all fear in the name of Jesus and command it to bow. And Lord, we loose faith like never before. Satan is the father of lies, and his sword is fear. But God, you are God and Satan is not. And you are the God that has the sword of faith. And Lord, we walk by faith and not by sight. And this day we cut off that spirit of fear. We cut the enemy's head off in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we loose the gift of faith right now to start filling the minds and hearts of your sons and your daughters. In your name, Lord, amen and amen. This next one is called the spirit of infirmity, and it's out of Luke 13:11, and it says, "Behold, there was a woman who had an issue of blood. She had the spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was not able to help herself even up off the ground." You know, there are going to be times, circumstances in our lives where stress will cause us to become very, very sick, and we really need to walk in great wisdom in that. But listen to some of the manifestations from this, where people have colds, asthma, virus infections, sinus infections, arthritis, where our bodies become weakened, our bones become weakened, where we become crippled and disabled, where we end up at times with paralysis that we can't explain, like weird things will happen to your body, and then you'll go to a doctor or the hospital and they'll go, "There's nothing wrong with you," because infirmity at times will try to lay on you. Also, pneumonia, it seems to always try to go after the lungs. A lot of times it's blood disorder, but lung disorder. And of course, one of the most famous things I see, not meaning famous, but one of the most vivid things, is that it'll literally cause a person to be chronically ill all the time. And this also, of course, besides fevers and blood disorders, but I see where this spirit lays on a person after a while, that it literally, they take on that personality, and their whole persona, their whole being, if you will, their whole life existent is around being sick, because they're chronically ill all the time. And we call that really a hypochondriac, you know. And so, Father, right now we want to bind all infirmity in the name of Jesus. We command any sickness to bow. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you live mightily and powerfully in each one of us, and that sickness has no hold, just like death has no hold over us. But Father, I want to pray for those right now that really are like that manifestation of a hypochondriac where the only self-worth they have is being sick. And Lord, we just want to bind that up and we just cast it out by the power of Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we just want to release healing to the mind and into the heart and to bring soundness and wholeness and restoring that person, your son and daughter, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let me pray with you as we wrap this program. Lord, I pray for my friends that you would empower them with your authority from on high, that you would infuse them with the power of your name and the authority of your word. Father, that you would cloak them as a warrior for you in the name of Jesus. You have a good week, and remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. We'll see you next time.
In this segment, we're going to talk about the spirit of jealousy, and in Numbers 5:14 declares, and the spirit of jealousy came upon this man because he was very jealous of his wife. And here are some of the manifestations besides being jealous of a rival of someone else, but it's coveting, wishing and longing or craving something that someone else has, another person has, very possessive, where you desire control or to occupy something. It becomes very murderous. Anger, which is a strong feeling of wrath, fury, rage, indignation, and hate. And these are just a few of the manifestations off of this spirit. And this is really one tree, if you will, that if you start to allow anger in, Proverbs 6:35 says, for jealousy is the rage of a man. And when we start to entertain anger before we know it, we have anger, we have rage, we have hatred, and then we have murder. And so whenever we're seeing areas where people have a real murderous spirit, you know that you have to bind up this spirit. This is a key, along, of course, with the lie. So listen, if you're dealing with this spirit of jealousy, let's pray right now and bind it up and cast it out, okay? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come against every lie, the jealousy, the insecurities that come with it. And Father, that manifestation that where the anger turns into hatred and that hatred into rage. Father, we bind up all works of darkness that would even lead anyone, even to the thought to entertain murder. And Father, we bind it, we cast it out, and we release the fire and the wind right now of your Holy Spirit. And we speak healing and restoration in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.